It is autumn in New York, November 2004, freezing rain, weary drivers, and a carload full of delinquents on a joyride. They break into a car, grab a credit card, and proceed to a video store where they purchase $400 worth of DVDs and video games. But then they think to themselves, why not pick up a few groceries while we're at it? So a surveillance tape catches the kids purchasing a 20-pound frozen turkey. Pedal to the metal in a silver Nissan, they speed toward a red Hyundai, which contains a woman by the name of Victoria Ruvolo. The two cars cross paths at about 12:30 a.m. As they do, one of the joyriders leans out the window, and as the two cars pass, the frozen turkey becomes a projectile, crashing through Victoria's windshield and into her face, crushing every bone it encounters. 8 hours of surgery and 3 weeks of recovery later, Victoria lies in a bed in Stony Brook University Hospital. Her face, shattered like a piece of pottery, is now stapled together by titanium plates, an eye affixed by synthetic film, a jaw wired, and a tracheotomy. The public reaction is vigorous. A news blog suggests what someone would like to do if they could spend 5 minutes alone with 18-year-old Ryan Cushing, the young man who hurled the turkey. His face should be shattered, they say. His life should be ruined. That's how the man on the street sees it. But it's all in the hands of the judicial system. On August 15th, 2005, Ryan Cushing and Victoria Ruvolo meet face to restructured face in the courtroom. A trembling Ryan Cushing pleads guilty to a much lesser charge. Sentence: 6 months in prison, 5 years probation, a bit of counseling, and a dash of public service. People are enraged. News shows ask, when did this nation become so soft on crime? They also ask, who in the world is responsible for this plea bargain anyway? The victim, that's who. Victoria Ruvolo had repeatedly asked for leniency. After making his plea, Cushing's lawyer leads him to Victoria. He is weeping with abandon. Victoria holds him tight, strokes his hair, and whispers three words: I forgive you. Tears mingle from face of reconstruction to face of remorse. The world at large is absolutely stunned. The New York Times, befuddled, calls it, quote, a moment of grace, unquote. So what do we do with stories like this? Most of us are touched, but then quickly, we just move on. Just go on with the rest of our lives. On the other hand, there are some. As they hear of grace, they cannot move on so easily. For some, the discovery of grace is like finding a knothole in the gates of heaven. They cannot tear themselves away from peering into it. They wonder why, if this thing called grace is so amazing, why is it so rare and isolated? Such a man was Saul of Tarsus. He was once a very angry man. These people, these followers of the way, had polluted the faith of his fathers. And he was going to clean things up with a vengeance. He would repay them with interest, galloping to regions afar just to torment them. That is when grace knocked him right out of his saddle, taking away his eyesight until he was ready to look at the thing he had refused to behold. Once his vision did return, grace was the only thing he wanted to see. Saul's name was changed to Paul. He would soon write letters to friends and to churches and to anyone who would listen. He spoke of many things in his letters, but he always came back to the same theme. That moment of blinding grace on the road to Damascus, when sight came wrapped in blindness. But the Apostle Paul was not the only person to be transformed by grace. This same grace transformed a ruthless slave trader into a pastor and songwriter. John Newton shared Paul's obsession. In his elder years, Newton would sit by the fireplace in his study at Olney in England. His once raging soul was now finally at peace. Just the same, he never wanted to forget the other John Newton, the one who had traded in human cargo. In large letters on the wall over his fireplace, here is what John Newton had painted. "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee." In Bible study one day, Newton asked himself, why should John Newton, former slave trader, find the grace of God? Such grace can only be described as amazing. And thus began the writing of the hymn that all of us know as Amazing Grace. Ryan Cushing, Saul of Tarsus, John Newton, all recipients of God's amazing grace, all changed by God's grace. But what about you? Have you received the grace of God? Have you been changed by the grace of God? You know what grace is? Grace is a five-letter word spelled J-E-S-U-S. That's grace. Grace can change a person. That's what this message series is all about, being changed by grace. Let me just ask you, you want some of that? You need some of that? Then come along. I think it's going to be an amazing journey. Let's have a quick word of prayer for this message series. Then we're going to stand and we're going to worship together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that somehow, some way, you reached out to us in ways that really are beyond our comprehension. You gave us grace when we all deserve judgment. God, I pray that your grace would not just be a sweet, warming thought for us. God, I pray that we would be transformed by your grace. Lord, I pray for this message series that we would have ears to hear, eyes to see, and feet that are swift to move forward in obedience to you as you speak to our hearts about receiving your grace, about living in response to your grace, and about sharing your grace with others. This I pray in Jesus' name.